So I would love to start with the fact that it's a open and closing night documentaries that you guys have going with. When did you decide that you wanted to open and close with docs? I mean, obviously in this type of festival, docs are very important, but I'm just curious if that was always the intention.
You know, it's so funny. I mean, you're like the third person in the past like day and a half to ask me that, but I guess my role as like artistic director, program director, is just to find the best films, you know, that are available to us. And throughout the year, I mean, I traveled quite a bit more than I had in previous years. And, you know, when I'm looking at films and, you know, we're thinking about what the theme of the festival this year is going to be, you know, and we decided it's going to be PRISM, you know, I was just kind of thinking of some films that really kind of, you know, pun intended, reflect what we wanted to build with this year's theme and with the festival moving forward, you know, with Aeglyph and PRISM. And I just felt like Deep Chorus, or, you know, Gay South, Deep Chorus, or Gay Chorus, Deep South, there we go. There we go, third time. Gay Chorus, Deep South. Just, you know, it made a lot of sense in the way that, you know, especially in the current political climate that Americans are feeling, and not only just Americans, but, you know, our the LGBT, QIA community, and how, you know, there is still rampant homophobia in the South, in Texas, and in the United States, period. And this was a film, I think, that, you know, searches for answers of why that is. And the fact that the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus decided to do this tour of the South in really conservative parts and really red states, you know, to just bring hope and to, you know, there's no message in anything that they're singing about. They want people to feel good, and they want the country to connect, and they just, you know, are just trying to spread joy. And as I was watching this film, like, with a huge audience, people were clapping and shouting at the screen, and, you know, people were also tearing up, and it's just, you know, those are important emotions that anyone can feel at any given point of the day, you know, let alone a film screening. And, you know, it did really resonate. It just, like, you know, this was a film that really speaks to anyone and everyone. And so, you know, that was sort of a long-winded answer, but I guess what you're sort of asking is, yeah, I didn't go into this year's festival thinking, oh, you know, we need a doc to open with, or we need a narrative, or we need an international film, or, you know, a local film. Because last year, we opened with PJ Revol's Color Ganda, and I mean, while that film wasn't local, he was an Austin-based filmmaker, and, you know, it was just like a great opportunity to highlight a local talent and open our festival with it. And so I just, you know, I was thinking, what are two really important films on the festival circuit that we can bookend this festival with? And so that leads me to Trixie Mattel, Moving Parts. And her status as a performer, a drag artist, a country singer, just sort of, you know, it kind of checks these boxes as, you know, it's very entertaining, it's stimulating, it's thought-provoking, you know, it does delve into some really dark, deep issues, but ultimately it is a crowd-pleaser, and to see kind of behind the scenes of how hard she works to, you know, be this drag performer in Trixie Mattel, and just all the travel and all the interviews. And I mean, these are things that I think, you know, your average moviegoer, or just any person, doesn't think, you know, like, people have separate lives outside of their, you know, kind of activities or performances. And it was really funny, it was really moving, and the fact that her popularity has grown and grown monthly, you know, or even weekly. Like, she was a contestant on season 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race, And now she's one of the biggest stars to ever be on Drag Race. And her stock is as high as it's ever been. And the fact that we got this film to close with is pretty amazing, because I can tell you that not a lot of festivals were given this film. I mean, major festivals, as in like Tribeca, Hot Docs, Frameline, and Outfest. And that's it. And I think we are the last festival to screen this film, because they are wrapping up their distribution deal. So it was really important that I worked very hard to land these two films. And yeah, in the whole landscape of the 83 films we're showing, these were the two that just kind of stuck out as good, you know, benchmarks of the festival, or, you know, bookends, you know. So the fact that they are two docs was not in any way, shape, or form me thinking, oh, you know, we need docs for our opening and closing. I just am looking to find the best films that we can to present, and these two just seem to stand out more than any others.
But I actually really like that they're both documentaries, because I feel like we're framing this very immersive festival where, you know, you're exposed to so many different kinds of film and all these different fantasies and narratives and all of that, with, you know, material that is drawn, that is, you know, based on real life struggles. And I think that's a really cool frame for the festival.
Yeah. And I'll just add real quick, I know I had like kind of a long-winded answer there, I apologize, but the great thing about these two films too is, you know, with opening and closing, you always kind of want some talent in there. And so with opening night, the fact that, you know, we reached out to the Austin Gay Men's Chorus here, and we asked them to, you know, perform and sing before the show, they jumped at the opportunity. And so to have that experience in a theater with the chorus singing before the film and then kind of easing into the film, you know, it's going to be a really terrific event. You know, where a lot of films, you know, we tend to watch them at home or we stream them, and, you know, you're not as immersed as you are in a theater with 200 other people. And the fact that the chorus is singing before the film is going to be great. And then with closing night, I tried like hell to get Trixie to attend. And unfortunately, she actually just left yesterday, but she's abroad for like 2.5 or 3 weeks as part of a tour. But we are going to have the director, Nick Z. Owens, attend. So I thought that that was important as well, to have some talent involved with both their opening and closing. So very excited about both those aspects.
Well, I know from just when I looked at the schedule, I was very excited to see both. Especially, I think, closing with Trixie, it's going to be something spectacular, because, like you said, not many people outside of, you know, a handful of festivals will have been able to say they saw it at a festival level. So, I would love to know, Jim, you brought up Prism, and I'd love for each of you guys to talk about what that is for those that aren't fully immersed in what you guys are doing with this new theme.
Sure, I'll let Ashley speak to that first, and then I can have my comments.
Yeah. And so, in one of the things that IGLIF has continuously tried to do over the last several years is honor our history as an organization and the audience who has showed up faithfully year after year after year and helped IGLIF become what it is, but also focus on increasing the diversity of that audience and diversity of our programming. Jim's done an amazing job bringing various different narratives and reflections of experiences to the festival in these incredible films. And we have, you know, focused on increasing from what was previously, you know, historically a white, you know, cisgender male audience primarily, to having an audience and supporting organizations in the community that serve, you know, a wide range of ethnicities and sexualities. And, you know, we changed our name last year to the All Genders, Lifestyles, and Identities Film Festival to reflect that broader perspective. and the sort of embraceiveness that we are trying to embody in the festival. And so this is kind of a continuation of that. So the theme of prison for us is, you know, our community itself is made up of so many different, you know, aspects of the spectrum of sexuality and identities. And we're looking to showcase and appreciate that in this year's theme.
Yeah, and, you know, I each year, you know, again, I'm tasked to kind of put our lineup together, and when, you know, this year's theme was sort of announced, you know, it made me kind of dig deep, or, you know, kind of go down the rabbit hole and just think of, you know, how many different, you know, subjects and stories and, you know, cultures and, you know, as Ashley said, you know, identities and genders can we, you know, put into this lineup. And, you know, it's something that I do always keep in the back of my head, and I want to make sure, you know, that everyone is represented as best as possible. I mean, some years it's going to be tougher than others just because you're dealing with whatever is sort of submitted to you, or what you reach out to and solicit, or what you find on the festival circuit. And kind of what Ashley had said too about, you know, our film goers and our history, I felt each year it's been also important to honor artists and filmmakers that, you know, sort of led the way and were trailblazers in queer cinema. And so, you know, we started doing our Breakthrough Award, and we started doing our Tribute Awards. And, you know, last year our Tribute Award was Yen Tan, and this year it's Rose Trochet and Jim Hall. And I mean, with films like Trick and Go Fish, I mean, these are films I saw, you know, in my teens and late teens, you know. And, you know, I don't want us to lose sight of people that, you know, made these films in times that were much different than they are now. You know, whether it be just less money, less resources, or, you know, just they had a story to tell and no one was willing to take a chance on them. You know, when you think of Go Fish from 25 years ago, I mean, now there's so many films that probably are indebted to Go Fish, and the fact that Rose and Jim will both be here to honor these tribute awards, you know, it just makes kind of this year's theme more special.
You know, it's interesting when looking at the lineup. You guys always do a wonderful job of finding those films from abroad, the foreign films that you get to bring in. I was especially amazed at how many there are this year, and from all parts of the world. I mean, Catamaran from India, Dog Barking at the Moon, Song Lang. I mean, tell me what about reaching out to the global community as maybe an extension of PRISM, or just an extension of what you guys do on a programming level year in and year out?
Oh, that's a good question. But, you know, I mean, look, when I was hired in 2014, we were the Austin Gay and Lesbian International Film Festival. And I don't forget that. I mean, that may not be our name now, but we are an international film festival, even if it's not in our name. And, you know, I think there's a lot of amazing artists and filmmakers from around the world that are making, you know, important films that, you know, a lot of these countries still have to deal with censorship, and a lot of these films can't even be seen in their own country. So the festival circuit is a way for them to, you know, spread the word on their stories and their experiences and get them seen at festivals and have people talk about them and have, you know, them play around the world. So, you know, it's definitely something that I always keep in mind. And, yeah, I mean, they're probably the lesser-known films of the festival at times, but, you know, they're just as important as our opening, as our closing. And, you know, if someone makes a 90-minute film, you know, even a 5-minute film can be just as impactful. And so I don't want to lose sight of any of these artists or filmmakers that, you know, I just want to share these films with our audience. And, you know, we want, you know, Austin is a destination city, and we would like to see people from not only just Austin, but from Texas and the U.S. and internationally come to our festival and see these films as well. So I think that's an important part of planning and, you know, slotting and accepting films. Like, yeah, I don't want it to be 80 U.S. films and then 3 from other countries. I mean, you know, what's the point of that? But you need to have that experience and that wealth of knowledge. And, you know, I'm constantly researching. I'm, you know, always reaching out for films and trying to see what's out there. What am I missing? What haven't I seen before? You know, and we have 36 different community sponsors for this year's festival. And, you know, that's a way for our organization to grow, working with all these different community partners from different parts of the world as well. So that's an important aspect of the programming and the research involved in putting them together.
You know, Asha, I'd love to know from the perspective of the continuing of the festival. I mean, 32 years, 32nd festival, it's such a big number. It's such a maybe even daunting number when you think about just all the other festivals that have just gone to the wayside. How important is it that this particular festival, what it's about, has been such a long-lasting member of the Austin community, of the Texas community, and like Jim is saying, very much of the international community? You guys have really cultivated something that many other people could not even imagine to see. I mean, it's got to be something special when you guys go to work and realize this is a big beast. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think one of the things that differentiates AGLIS from, you know, some other film festivals is that, one, we're a volunteer organization. We have a working board that is comprised of all volunteers. We have staff. Like Jim, we have a festival producer on board this year as well, and a volunteer coordinator. But those are the only paid members of AGLIS. The rest of AGLIS board itself is comprised of volunteers who are so very passionate about film, about the organization, and about the continuance of it. And I think that, you know, it takes a lot of commitment and a lot of passion to devote the amount of energy and time required to put on, you know, a festival of this scale. And so when people are taking time away from, you know, their full-time jobs and their families and, you know, the spare time that they have in their life, I think that the commitment to success is large. You know, it's very, you have like a core body of very passionate people that are running the organization. And then we also have such an incredibly passionate audience and group of members and donors who have, you know, I mentioned before, like, been there with AGLIS every step of the way. And I think that we cultivate that in some ways, because when you walk into AGLIS, you're not walking into strangers. Our, you know, training with our volunteers, our expectation of our board members, everyone is, you're greeting people like they are family. We want AGLIS to be a safe space. We want you to be able to walk in and immediately feel enveloped in family and excitement, and, you know, the thrill of seeing yourself and or aspects of your experience projected on the big screen. So we want it to be a very exciting, warm place, and I think that because we have, you know, a small team who's very dedicated, and we have volunteers who are very dedicated, we're able to create an environment that people grow attached to, that people, you know, want to support and are, you know, excited to support, especially with like the monthly screenings as well, because that's one more opportunity for them to go and see their friends and feel like they are part of something. I think that's one big aspect to our longevity.
Yeah, and well, and don't forget John Wildman.
Yes, absolutely.
Do not leave that out.
That was a perfect plug-in, yeah. Perfect plug-in.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, and I mean, it is still strange to think that AGLIS is the longest-running film festival in Austin. Like, that still is hard to fathom. I mean, not in like a gut-wrenching way, but just, like, there, you know, there's 28 film festivals in Austin, and the fact that we were the first one really does say something about our organization and our commitment to providing, you know, a safe space, to providing, you know, queer-centric cinema, you know, to, you know, our audience here in Austin. And, you know, I mean, it's just something that Scott Dinger, the founder, thought of in 1987 and brought films from Outfest, which was like 5 years old at that time. And now Outfest is considered like, you know, the biggest queer film festival in the world. And, you know, he just had an idea and wanted to see these films back in 1986, 87. And he just brought them to the Dolby Theater. And that's, you know, kind of the origins of how Eglif began. And, you know, I mean, we just want to keep, you know, that going. I mean, it's something that we all are very dedicated about, as Ashley said, and, you know, we do care a lot about this organization, so we want to put on, you know, a good festival and show great films, you know, because, you know, if you were to go to a festival, and it doesn't matter which one, but if you saw two or three films that you didn't think were very good, you know, would you consider going back? Because you'd have that experience of like, oh, I went to that festival and the films I saw were not very good. So we do keep a high standard of the programming and the community and listen to people of what they want to see. And as Ashley said, the monthly screenings, you know, that's another way that we stay in touch with the community and make sure that, you know, that we're here and that we're around and that we're continuing to be involved in the film scene, but also be an important part of Austinites and to just show and reflect that, you know, we want to continue this work and we want to provide the service because we ultimately, we all do care. So we want to make sure that we're doing our best to put on a great festival.
I was amazed when visiting the festival, Jim, you brought up the word safe place. I love that idea that it's a safe place to have communication about subject matters that range all over the, you know, the spectrum of debate, and especially right now in the political climate. Can y'all talk about putting on a festival that does allow, you know, these wonderful post-screening talks, these, you know, the parties themselves seem like they're, you know, a place of comfort. That's got to be something that not every festival thinks about, but you guys do. That's special in its own way.
Do you want to take that?
Do you want to talk about our code of conduct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sure. I mean, our code of conduct is, I mean, it's a huge part of why we, you know, mention the word safe space, because, you know, a lot of this had some trickle-down effect, you know, I think in large part, one, because Fantastic Fest, which is also based in Austin, is also at the Sophomore venue that we do Eglif with, and, you know, I mean, they are community supporters, and I'm good friends with many people in Fantastic Fest, but they had, you know, kind of a major screw-up happened there 2-3 years ago, and it really, you know, when that happened, I mean, that happened 2 weeks after our festival, and if that would have happened, you know, 2 weeks before our festival, I don't know what would have happened, because people started boycotting the Draft House, and, you know, this made me very, you know, unsure of where we were headed, and so we really needed to, you know, to sit down, the board did, and myself, and just talk about, you know, what is it that we need to provide to people coming to the festival, you know, the film fest, but then also monthly screens or any of our events. And, you know, we just absolutely will not tolerate any harassment in any form. And so we want all of our attendees to just know that, you know, we're dedicated to creating, you know, and fostering, you know, a great experience when they attend to something. And, you know, it's our name that's on it. And we just want to make sure that, you know, we are abiding by the rules ourselves. So we have a strict policy for code of conduct. And, you know, everyone is treated equally, and everyone, you know, deserves to be, you know, heard out, or, you know, have a voice. I guess that's what I'm looking for. But, you know, it was just important to us, and to enforce a code of conduct that we have, you know, within our organization, within our, any of events, anything that has an ageless name on it, you know, we enforce a code of conduct. And I think a lot of this did stem from the Me Too movement as well. So that was, that played a huge part in all this as well. So, I mean, those are kind of two things that I guess were a reason why we, you know, kind of adapted a code of conduct for ageless, you know, moving forward.
Very cool. I'd kind of love to end things with a question of, I know this is always a tough question about, like, what do you hope people go see? But, like, I'll start off by saying I'm really excited by the late night shorts, just in reading the synopsises and what you created with those. But I would love to know for each of you if there's a film, a short, a party, just something that you want to pinpoint for people to maybe focus on, other than, of course, coming to everything.
Well, so for me personally, I'm very excited to go see, I'm very excited to go see Vita in Virginia. Mm. It's not in competition. It's a narrative feature, and it looks incredible. I was very excited by the trailer. It's out of Ireland. And, that's my big thing. The party that I would love for people to go to, the event that I'd love people to go to, is our closing night party. Will be after the Trixie Mattel documentary, and it's at Omlas, which is a gorgeous garden space in Austin. It's a sculpture garden, so there's incredible plants and amazing artwork, and we have a performance by Fat Bottom Cabaret, which is a burlesque troupe of queer women of color that are all plus size, which is, you know, one, they're amazing performers. Their performances are always just mind-blowing, but also, you know, just one more way to showcase an sometimes overlooked aspect of our community, you know, an under-promoted aspect. And so I'm very excited to have them featured and to have them be part of the festival, and to have an incredible event there. Our closing night typically runs late on a Sunday, so this year we moved it up a little, and we moved our closing night film up a little so that people could feel free to attend and then not, you know, hate themselves on Monday morning.
I mean, I'm sure I'll hate myself on Monday morning, but that will only be...
I mean, same, but if I can walk on Monday morning, but good.
Right. I didn't mean to cut you off, Ashley.
No, you didn't. What about you, Jim? What film are you excited for, and what event would you like to see?
Well, that film question is always tough, you know? It's because...
I love all the films.
I live with the... I've seen all the films. And, you know, a lot of them I saw back in December and January, and, you know, I've had to, like, kind of sort of keep over screening. Even though I gave board members some ideas, you know, of some of the films before we made our announcement. But, you know, I'll say, you know, it is always exciting to see a new crop of rising filmmakers and up-and-coming and first-time filmmakers, and the fact that we're going to have right around 50 visiting filmmakers attend the festival is always a lot of fun. It provides a lot of energy for the festival. I mean, personally, I'm always a fan of films where there are Q&As, where there are intros, because then it does feel like an experience versus just going to see, you know, Avengers on opening night or something, you know. I mean, no one's going to be there, but you'll see the same movie, whether if you see it opening day or, you know, 3 months later or whatever. So with a lot of these screenings, you're probably not going to get the chance to see the artists, the filmmakers, the writers, actors, actresses, you know, at another screening. Maybe if they, you know, continue to come back to the festival and present new work year after year. And I mean, that's something that I've been trying to build with the festival and providing, you know, alumni and having recurring filmmakers keep submitting their work to AGLIF and keep coming back to the festival. So I think that's important. That might be a cop-out answer, but it's sort of the truth. You know, I mean, obviously the secret screening is something that people get excited about, and I think this year's is going to be a wild one. I think people are going to be very excited. So just to know that only like 3 people know what the movie is right now is pretty amazing. And then, yeah, I mean, as far as events, that our closing night party is going to be really amazing. And I have never seen Bat Bomb Cabaret, so I'm very excited to see them. And the Umlauf garden space is wonderful, so I'm very curious to attend that. Plus, it'll be, you know, sort of like the tail end of the festival as well, if I can speak freely. But, you know, we're doing something for our breakthrough artist, Lisa Donato at Gibson. That should be fun. And even going downtown Saturday right after Becoming Leslie, you know, to go to Sellers and have pink boas be part of the celebration, because that was like Leslie's staple in Austin when they were alive, were the pink boas. And, you know, I think it's just the whole festival in itself is just one big event, really, and it'll just be great to connect with everyone in attendance, from badge holders to individual ticket holders to talent. And, you know, it's just, we've all been working hard on this, and, you know, once the festival starts, it really flies by. And then all of a sudden, it will be Sunday night, we will be at the closing night party, and we'll be like, that all just happened, you know? And it's like, it usually takes a little bit of time for all that to kind of reflect, but, you know, it's a lot of prep and a lot of time working on it, but, you know, it all pays off at the end, so, you know? Just hope that this is another A-list that we have in store, I guess.
Well, I know I'm very excited to come down and experience the whole festival, so thank you guys for putting
on. We're so excited to have you.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I appreciate that. But no, thank you guys for the time, and I will be getting this up soon, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Absolutely. Will you be at the fest this weekend?
Not this weekend, but we get down there on Wednesday, so we'll be there from Wednesday.
No,
we'll be at Women Texas.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
Oh, good, well, I'll see you there. I'm going to be there tomorrow night.
Oh, perfect, yeah, we'll be on the carpet. We'll be there for you, Ashley.
Excellent.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you guys, and